Welcome to America's Commercial Real Estate Show, your source for market intel, forecasts, and strategies. Hello, I'm Michael Bull. Thank you for being with us. And this show is brought to you by Bull Realty. If you're looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial properties, multifamily, or land in Atlanta or around the Southeast U.S., you're invited to reach out to me personally. My email is michael@bullrealty.com. Well, let's get into it. We have an incredible guest for you today. You've seen him speak around the country. You have seen him and heard him on America's Commercial Real Estate Show. Please welcome Jim Costello. He's Executive Director with MSCI Research. Jim, good to see you.
Great to see you, Michael.
Good. Thanks for joining us. And we're going to talk about retail mainly today, but having the opportunity to talk to you on air is a great opportunity for our listeners, right, to get some other opinions. And one of the things that it seems like if it bleeds, it leads. There's a lot of headlines about the commercial real estate being terrible condition, terrible shape, that's going to kill the banks. Talk us off the ledge there, Jim.
Yeah, here's the issue. The office market historically had been the biggest component to commercial real estate investment. And the CBD offices are facing a sea change in how tenants use those spaces. So prices are falling stronger than any other asset class. There's a guilt by association kind of thing happening here. People see that what was the biggest component of investment is falling so sharp, and they're expanding that to the whole commercial real estate world. Our price index, the RCA CPI, is down a cumulative 39% for CBD offices from July of 2022 through to January of 2024. So people see that and they think, oh, sky's falling. All commercial real estate's going to be bad. Banks made some loans in previous cycles and had trouble from real estate. So this time we're obviously going through the same problem. And what they miss in all this is that conditions vary in every cycle. One, other property sectors aren't seeing the same kind of price declines. We're talking about retail here. Over the last year, prices were down 3% from January 2023 to January 2024. 3%. Well, it's not good, but that's a whole heck of a lot better than the office CBD prices that for the last year fell 27%. Retail was falling at a stronger pace in mid-year 2023, almost an 8% decline. So think about that. It sort of turned the corner. No, it's like it's starting to moderate. Retail, the price declines, to me, kind of suggests the market saw a one-time increase in interest rates, one-time increase in the cost of debt, and the pricing has adjusted. It's not going up too much more anymore. So maybe it starts to settle out soon. But it's different for office because there's that fundamental change in how people are using space. But it's also certain types of buildings. Again, it's CBD offices. It's not suburban office generally. But suburban offices, prices are down there more than other asset classes. Over the last year, a 10% decline. And since July of 2022, when it were at a peak, it's down a cumulative 70%. So that's not healthy, but it's not as bad as the CBD offices. And so I think the challenge is that people are number one, thinking all commercial real estate is the same, which it's not. But then their worry about the banking sector, I think, is misplaced because there's sort of this assumption, oh, well, banks must be making all those loans. And they weren't. What people see is that they go to the FDIC call sheet reports and see that total commercial loan exposure of a regional bank. Oh, it's a big exposure to commercial real estate. They obviously must have trouble. But if I'm a small bank in Utah or small bank in Alabama, I'm not making office loans on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. problem is.
Right.
You know, people stay in their own lanes. That bank in Birmingham, it's going to have a lot of apartments. Well, and the commercial stuff is a lot of industrial and retail and some hotel.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you talk about, you know, the different, you know, a lot of these banks, you know, there's, to your point, there's a maybe a one-time, it may take a little bit of time, but a one-time adjustment for most of these property types because of higher interest rates, right? Maybe people looking for a higher return on equity as well because they have other alternatives, but it's really that big office buildings that are having the big trouble and kind of making a lot of people think commercial real estate's terrible. And, you know, what we're seeing too, even in the office, is the medical office doing great overall. Government leased office doing great overall. Small suites, buildings with smaller suite seem to be doing really well, the ones we see. And then a lot of the small user buildings where companies are buying buildings, those are selling really well. So yeah, it's just this kind of one segment, but it is a big segment in some of these bigger cities, right?
That's right. And yeah. It's also just the adjacency bias because, and not to criticize my friends at Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg or whatever, but they're in these major cities where the office market is having trouble. And it's less of an issue in some of the smaller cities in the country. If I own a building in downtown Dallas, I'm not facing the same kind of price pressure as an office asset in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gotten some pretty high prices per square foot when people, relatively speaking, for office in Atlanta, where we do a lot of our work, and you know, it's just raising some eyebrows. But to your point, you have some of these pockets around Atlanta that are just doing extremely well. So let's talk about retail, Jim. So, you know, as I mentioned, office, CBD, larger office has struggled a little bit with performance or a lot in some cases. But what about retail? How's retail been doing? There's some folks talking about, well, maybe consumer confidence is going to go away. Maybe consumer savings will be gone from the COVID savings. What do you see for performance in retail today?
Well, we just this morning published a report on deal activity for January. It was a bit of a misleading number. Deal volume was up 114% in January from a year earlier. If you just look at the headline figures, you might think, hey, investors are excited. They're jumping back into retail again. But part of it was one deal, an entity level deal, merger of Realty Income and Spirit. So you strip that out, and deal volume was down 4% from a year earlier. But 4%, in the scope of things, that's not bad. It revises a little bit over time. I view that as basically flat from a year ago. And compared to the last couple of years where illiquidity was really driving deal volume down, 4% feels pretty good in a sense. And given that prices are not falling at the same pace that they were just 6 months ago, again, it just tells me that it just smells like this period of a one-time adjustment to some new economic realities around a higher interest rate. The challenge, I think, is that retail had been sort of the whipping boy for years for the sector. People were talking about dead malls and you know, this notion of, oh, online sales are stealing everything. And yeah, online sales got rid of some commodity kind of things. It's harder to find a record store now, for instance, although they still have. It's more of a boutique kind of thing and not more high-end stuff. But it's a different environment than the past. But there still are these stores. There still are stores that people are going to and spending money at. But then also the post-COVID world, we have a challenge of there's a lot of noise in the consumer data. Spending plummeted in the worst parts of the pandemic. And then we had the revenge spending happening in the years after. And so you saw tremendous growth rates in spending. But that was all goods at first, but now it's services. The services are not susceptible to online. You can't go get your nails done at a website. You can't go to a nice dinner at a website. So that's helping the retail properties as well. But that is tapering off, like you noted. Some of the COVID money and just the revenge period, that is petering off.
And Jim, what do you see trend-wise for cap rates in retail properties? I assume you're seeing them rise a bit. What do you see?
Yeah, cap rates are on their way up. It's you know, again, that adjustment to a new reality. We had a low for cap rates, just kind of a simple average of every deal nationally. We had a low around 6.3, 6.2% in 2022. It had been kind of averaging around 6.5, 6.6% from like 2019 to 2021. Then interest rates hit and it kind of dipped down a bit. But now it's on the way back up, and it's up. 12-month average to January was 6.8%. So they're up, but the pace of increase the pace of decrease for prices is moderating. Cap rates, you see some of the same stuff happening.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what do you predict for retail moving forward, Jim, as far as transaction volume? Do you think it will pick up at some and when? And what about cap rates? You think they have further movement or maybe we flatlining? What do you think?
Transaction volume, one of the things that is driving it, yeah, think about who is the potential buyer? Are there going to be investors lining up to do deals? So far, it's mostly a private capital market. Some of it's the asset types, smaller retail buildings, maybe people focus on 1031 kind of things. So there's a big component of the buyers in the market that are focused on coming from the private capital sources. They were 60% or so of all acquisitions of retail properties in 2023, and they were maybe 48% of all sellers. And so they kind of expanded their exposure to the sector. Institutional folks, they sold more than they bought. They were behind more of the sales in the market than the acquisitions. And I think it's important to focus on the institutions because they tend to have deeper pockets. If they are buying stuff, there's a little bit more of commitment to the thesis of the sector. There's evidence that they're seeing that suggests that they can take a risk. The private investors are often doing deals in their home market, and they can see things sometimes before and be more nimble than an institutional investor. Just to get approvals from the different fund participants, get approvals from their investment board. It's just a harder thing to execute on something and spot that turning point.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet for the institutions to jump in, but that's the thing I'll be looking for in the year ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like cash buyers are really loving this market where it's a little tougher to get loans today. I've done three all-cash contracts in the last week and a half on listings that we have. They're just cash buyers buying them and closing really quickly. And it seems like some folks think that interest rates are going to maybe really drop in the third or fourth quarter. And maybe they're delaying doing business. You know, what do you say about future rate changes? What do you expect?
Yeah, interest rates and what's going to happen in the year ahead. You know, if I could forecast perfect accuracy, I'd be a very wealthy man. but it's just not happening. The expectations in the market have been interesting. Just watching that, talking with people in the commercial real estate world. I wonder at times if people are being too optimistic in our sector, hoping the rates fall more just so they can get some deal stock. But it's the expectation is that there's declines this year. I think where people are hung up is just sort of the total decline in the timing. And yeah, I think that the expectations can play a role with people delaying things and thinking that maybe I can get a better deal in the future. In fact, in the fourth quarter, we started to see some evidence of that in 2023 with deal volume petering out a little bit into December when normally you'd have seen the strongest month of the year. And you're talking with folks, you know, some people who were looking to sell were thinking that maybe I'll be able to refinance a bit more easily into the year ahead. So it can delay a little bit of decision. How much it declines and timing, you know, that, you know, I can't answer. But, you know, if I look at, you know, the forward curve on SOFR, expect the market on the debt side is expecting some sort of decline. I just wonder, are the real estate people sometimes being more optimistic than the fixed income market people?
Yeah, we've certainly seen a big pickup in activity since the 2024 started compared to 2023. We saw the same thing at the end of the year was just sort of slow. But that we've seen a lot of optimism this year, and a lot of folks that we deal with don't feel like interest rates are going to drop materially enough to really make a difference. And maybe if there's less property on the market and less buyers you're competing with, maybe it's time to do something.
Yeah, another interesting anecdote. I was at an event last night hanging out with a bunch of bankers, and they said that they've been dealing with the challenge that people looking to refinance are sometimes pausing recently thinking, maybe I can do a better deal in 6 months' time. I still have a little bit of time on the current loan. And so it just the uncertainty causes some delays.
Right.
And that is always a killer for markets, uncertainty.
Yeah. Well, Jim, what would you leave our audience for to think about retail real estate in the year ahead?
Yeah. The retail sector, again, it had been the whipping boy for a lot of the commercial real estate world over the last 20 years. People were always telling negative stories about retail, that the internet was going to destroy it, that nobody needs it anymore. But it's been resilient. You have to have the right center, the right location, the right income profile nearby. We all see some problematic centers that have been traded out at the bottom of the market. But you know, the right asset is still doing okay. And so it's a little bit of a stock picker's market, you know, trying to find the right location, being able to have the right facility, the right management in place, do your CapEx spend properly, manage the risk of your tenants properly. Once you get that, people are still spending money. And there's still a need for a lot of products and services to happen in person. Online spending as a share of all consumer spending is like 17%. That still means a lot of money happens to be spent in stores.
That's right. I was in a store last weekend and I was just looking for some bar stools. And I'm like, you know, and I saw two that I liked and I said, can I get those two? They said, no, this is a showroom. We send them to you and you'll get them in a few weeks. And I'm like, you know what? That changes my decision. I don't want them then. So I want them now. You know, so to your point, you know, if you can go out and get something now, there's some gratification of that. Well, Jim, thanks for joining us, sir. Appreciate you being on the show and the information.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
All right. And thank you for joining us around the country. Hey, please share this show. Great information Jim shared with us all. Please pay it forward and share it with others. And until next week, be sure that you always lead, learn, and laugh. And join us for America's Commercial Real Estate Show. America's Commercial Real Estate Show is brought to you by Bullitt Realty. For commercial brokerage sales and leasing in the Southeast U.S., contact our show host by email at michael@bullittrealty.com. By Commercial Agent Success Strategies, 21 incredible one-hour agent training videos. Learn more at commercialagentsuccess.com. And by Lument. For senior housing, healthcare, and multifamily financing, visit Lument.com. For more podcasts and videos, subscribe and visit CREshow.com.